Hi, everyone. I'm Greg Harton, the editorial page editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and this is the Know the News podcast for the weekend of June 3rd and 4th. We like to talk a little bit about what we've got coming up in the Democrat Gazette this weekend, and we'll get to more of that in just a few minutes. But when you're looking at your newspaper on Sunday, turn to the What's Up section and you'll find a story about an organization called the Theater Collective of Northwest Arkansas. It is a theater company that just recently kicked off its first season. Our guest today is Rachel Mills, the executive director of this new effort to offer theater fans another choice in the creative culture of Northwest Arkansas. Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I think the big question is why? And Northwest Arkansas has theater in various forms, and you folks came together just in the last few months and apparently saw a need. So tell me a little bit about what that need is and how you guys hope to fill it.
Yeah, so absolutely, you're right. The theater is alive and well in Northwest Arkansas, both in the professional industry as well as the community theater options. But we just think that there's space for more. Some of that comes from the changes that are coming up this year at Arkansas Public Theater in Rogers, where they're going to shut down for about 6 months while they're going through some really exciting renovations. That really, really puts a damper on the amount of performing opportunities that will be available to the amateur performance network that exists here. But we also just operate under the idea that more theater is better. So even whenever those kind of established organizations have shows going on, if you're not in the one thing that's happening right now, you're not really getting a chance to perform. So we wanted to try and fill in some of the gap there, not only by having more opportunities, but also changing the kinds of opportunities. So places that are already established are really, really good at full productions of shows, right? You go see your musical, your play, it runs for 2 or 3 weekends, it has the whole bit. And we're, especially this season, really interested in offering things that are more one night only types of opportunities. And what that does is creates a lot more accessibility for the performers, because it's not 6 to 9 weeks worth of rehearsal and performance. It's a couple of weeks, one night of performing, and then you get to go back to your life or your other performance opportunities. So more and different is kind of what we thought we could bring to the area.
So tell me a little bit more about the different levels of theatrical performances. I mean, you obviously have Walton Arts Center, you've got Theater mm-hmm. Squared, you've got other community theater, but what are the kind of the different levels? And I guess when people come and watch, what should they expect in what you guys do versus what maybe they see in some of these other full-time sort of operations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So so kind of where you started, Walton Arts Center runs a performing house, right? So they have Broadway tours come through. Those are the folks who do this for a living. Everybody in that tour is getting paid. That is the primary way that they can make their money, is traveling around and bringing these incredible stories from Broadway to other locations. Theater Squared is a producing house, so they identify shows that tell stories that they want to share with the community, and they make it all themselves. So they build it, they cast it, they light it, they do all of that all on their own. And that is also professional as well. So everyone who's working on those shows, that is the primary way that they make their living. Then the community theaters in the area tap into amateur talents. So the idea that your, you know, dentist could be a really good singer, or your, you know, checkout person at the grocery store could be really great on stage, and kind of taps into that more volunteer community where people want to be part of that storytelling but have day jobs and that kind of thing. But all of those that currently exist in the area do full productions. So it's a full show, you know, it runs about 90 minutes long or more, and it's telling a full story, and it runs for several weeks. So it's a long rehearsal process, and it needs to be, because that level of quality that they want to put out and do put out on a regular basis. what we're looking at least right now, is kind of smaller bite-sized things. So not necessarily full productions with titles that you would know, but like our premiere performance collected was a musical theater review is kind of what we called it. We had folks who just picked out songs from shows that they know and like and can sing really well and wanted to share with the community. And it took about an hour, and you got to see 18 different people perform different things that weren't necessarily related to each other, but just kind of celebrated that talent. And we're going to look into doing more things like that, that are smaller, more digestible pieces for the audiences, but then also for the performers, so we can expand the network as large as possible.
So the name is an interesting name. Tell me a little bit about what makes it a collective.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited about that aspect of it. So another kind of facet that we wanted to focus on when creating this was having the performers be the decision makers. So occasionally within not just this community theater space, but all of them, there are the folks who want to be in the shows, and then there are the folks who are like putting in the time and the effort to make the seasons happen. And that is a lot of work to reach out to places to get rights, to make sure your schedule is going on the way it should be, to think about how, you know, what kind of money that would bring in and that kind of thing. That there's a lot that goes into that. And we wanted to introduce the idea that the performers, at least for our organization, could be part of that back and kind of decision-making process. And there would be a lot of transparency. So for example, our season that is getting announced in What's Up this Sunday, was part of a voting process. So we took ideas from everybody in the group about what they wanted to see, what they wanted to do, what they thought we could be part of. And then our board identified the more realistic things that we could do, right? Based on space, funding, rights, that kind of thing, what was actually available and out there. And then once we narrowed down those ideas, we took the narrowed down ideas and gave them back to the group, and everyone voted. So it's actually been a collective process to decide what the season is going to look like.
That's got to be an interesting process. Any lobbying going on?
It definitely is interesting. I can't speak for our other members. I've gotten no presents or anything like that, but it is really fun to see what everyone wants to see, because it is very much, there's a large group of people who really want to see just kind of classic, well-known shows. And then there are folks who are really into more new works or local playwright works and that kind of thing. And that's all very exciting because we're interested in all of it. So just making use of that network of performers is really nice to identify things that we didn't know about, and then also gauge the interest in shows that we do know about.
So I assume performers, it already kind of like a big family in Northwest Arkansas. Everybody knows each other, that sort of thing. So mm-hmm. I guess when you guys decided to form this, you didn't have to do a lot of reach out to find people.
No, we, there are a few folks who are kind of the linchpins, if you will. So they knew people from both this organization and that organization, and were able to bring everyone together. So it's you definitely kind of fall into a family-like environment where you recognize the same names and you're excited to see someone get cast in a show, not because you've necessarily met them, but because you've seen them be cast in other things. And so this is also a solid opportunity to kind of cross those lines that can sometimes get thrown up, especially if you tend to lean towards one organization or the other because of your like geographic location. We definitely made use of those networking connections to pull as many people into the group as possible. And it's still an open group. Like, anyone who is interested in making or supporting the theater collective's mission at all is welcome to be part of it.
Yeah, that kind of touched on my next question, which was, as a new organization, I think it takes a mm-hmm. little while for people to figure out how they should interact with an organization. Mm-hmm. You've talked about performers, but what about you know, the fans, you know, the people who want to, you know, maybe never want to be on stage at all, but they want to see these performances. I assume you don't have a big theater home someplace that you've secretly built. so where will people see this, and how will people interact with the Theater Collective of Northwest Arkansas?
Now, I will say, if anyone has a spare theater building just hanging out somewhere, I will totally take it.
But absolutely.
You're correct. We don't have a permanent home right now, but we kind of like that guerrilla theater kind of feeling. So our aim is to do these performances all over the area. So we have been in talks with the Medium. We've been in talks with the city of Fayetteville to put on some things in their parks. We're reaching out to places like NWAC to make use of their spaces. We definitely are just kind of try and find either kind of established spaces where we can kind of go in and do our thing and then get out, or new spaces like, you know, in the park kind of ideas. So we are kind of all over the place right now. And that makes it really nice for both the fans, as you said, and the performers, because you don't have to always drive to the same place that maybe is 45 minutes from your house to see the show. But as far as keeping up with us, you know, the good old social media is where we're at, right? We're a Theater Collective of Northwest Arkansas on Facebook, theater.collective.mwa on Instagram, and we have a website that's theatercollectivenwa.org, where we're keeping updated on everything. That's where all of our announcements will take place, and also all of the information for how you interact, whether it is supporting via donations, or if you want to do something with us, but it's backstage and not performers. We have all of that information in all of those places.
So is this a like a 501c3 kind of organization, or what's the format of it?
I am in the process right now of getting that 501c3 status. So that has been a very big learning curve. I'm not sure how many people know how many steps there are in that. But so we've gotten incorporated with the state of Arkansas. We've got our EIN number from the IRS. So I'm just waiting on the paperwork to get sent in. And then we will be filing again with the IRS to get that 501c3. So we're not there quite yet, which just means that donations are not tax deductible at this moment. But my hope is to get through that process before the end of the summer and before our first show goes up, so that we are ready to go with those, that kind of tax deductibility benefit of supporting the organization.
Terrific. I'll just make sure everybody knows that they can turn to the WhatsApp section of Sunday's paper to read more about your organization. Congratulations on what you guys are doing, and I appreciate you spending time with us. Good luck on the future of the Theater Collective of Northwest Arkansas.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You can catch Becca Martin Brown's story on the Theater Collective this weekend in the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette's What's Up section. In addition, I want to tell you about some of the other great stories we have coming this weekend. In Fayetteville, city officials are preparing to decrease the fees people are charged when their security alarms go off accidentally. Stacy Ryburn will tell you what's prompting that change. Bentonville recently decided to make a major change to the pay structure for its police officers. Mike Jones will tell us more about that and how Bentonville is doing when it comes to attracting candidates for its police force. The decades-long fight over the Illinois River and its health has several key dates ahead in the next 2 weeks as the federal government, Oklahoma, and Arkansas battle among themselves and with poultry companies. Doug Thompson will have that story. Also, more Northwest Arkansas residents are using the region's trail systems, but a new report by Active Transportation Groups finds that minorities and low-income people face barriers to using the trails and are underrepresented at regional events. Ron Wood will bring us that story. Mike Jones will also tell us about the plans to reopen the Bentonville Municipal Airport, which has been closed since May 1st for a project to widen the runway. Reporter Tracy Neal will tell us about movement in Benton County toward expanding the juvenile detention center. You'll also want to check out the River Valley coverage, which includes details from reporter Thomas Sacente about the newly adopted strategic plan for the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith. And reporters Monica Brick and Doug Thompson will look into important details of Fort Smith's consent decree with federal and state environmental officials. They say the agreement will require the city to spend at least $65 million a year on average through 2032 to fix its sewer system. As always, our features and entertainment department will have great content to share. Our Sunday profile is on Tanya Smith, founder and president of Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge in Eureka Springs, and that's by Profiles editor April Wallace. And in our What's Up section this Sunday, you'll find other stories about Interform Fashion Week, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas releasing its first album ever, and as we noted earlier, the preview of the Theater Collective's first season. Keep up with the Razorbacks baseball team as they pursue a national championship. They're hosting TCU, Arizona, and Santa Clara this weekend at the Fayetteville Regional of the NCAA tournament. Check out wholehogsports.com for the latest on that front. All of this and more will be available to our subscribers on our tablet and smartphone apps, and at our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleydemocratgazette.com. To those of you who are already our subscribers, thank you for your support of local journalism. If you're not a subscriber, I hope you'll consider being one. We even have a special offer for our podcast listeners. Just visit nwaonline.com/podcast23 to get started. You can also click on the subscribe button on our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleydemocratgazette.com, or you can call us 479-684-5509. Be sure to say that you're a podcast listener. And the website again is nwaonline.com/podcast23. Know the News is a weekly podcast brought to you by the newsrooms of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. Thanks for listening. Again, I'm Greg Harton, your podcast host this week. Have a great weekend, and until next Friday, so long.